Rapiophile. Noun. One who is attracted to intelligence. Join us, fellow fun-loving lover of knowledge, as we dig into your favorite topics with our very own nerdy diatribes, words of wisdom, and takes on life as millennials. Welcome to the Sapiophiles.
Hello, everybody. This is Kayla.
And this is Chelsea.
And we are back with you for another wonderful episode of the Sapiophiles. This week, we are going to focus on our favorite quotes, or at least some of our favorite quotes, because I'm sure Chelsea can say that none of us could choose just 10 to be our favorites all the time.
So hard. It just depends on where you are in your life and what things you've seen recently or read recently or thought of recently. So there could be so many, but these are just quotes we like.
And we wanted to do this because it kind of is a jumping off point from last week when we were analyzing one particular quote. And I talked with Chelsea afterwards, and she knows that I have a quote book. I have an entire book of all my favorite quotes that I started thanks to my Aunt Lynn. And I feel like I've always been a collector of inspirational messages, whether they be in music or in movies or in books or words spoken to me by individuals in person. And these types of messages are things that I turn to when I need motivation or when I'm upset and need that little bit of bright light. And I just wanted to share some of my favorites with you. And I know Chelsea did too.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, quotes are something that I think can help us through a lot of times in life. I'm someone who has like inspirational quotes on signs in my house. Like, I like these kind of things.
Same.
So it's fun to share some of these and kind of talk about like how we can take those quotes from whatever they happen to be from and connect them to our lives and to the world in general.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. So we have picked 10 quotes each. We double checked to make sure that we didn't overlap because that was totally a possibility because yes, we are like-minded and have a variety of similar books, movies, TV shows that we watch and read. So there's always a chance that we might have the same favorite quotes.
Mm-hmm.
But we have 10 quotes each that aren't overlapping for all of you.
All right. We're excited.
We are.
So let's go back and forth with these and then we can kind of pull apart the quotes.
Okay. Sounds good.
I think that'll be fun.
I agree.
All right. I'm going to start with the first one. And this is a quote that has always been among my favorite quotes. In fact, I have a sign with this quote. And this quote is, imperfection is beauty, madness is genius, and it's better to be absolutely ridiculous than absolutely boring. And that's by Marilyn Monroe.
I know the quote on your wall.
Yep. So I think I like this quote because it's from somebody who the world saw as this like perfect figure. And it's about how being imperfect is actually what makes you so engaging. And I think that's really powerful for all of us because I've definitely been stuck in the zone of like, I have to get this right. I have to be perfect. I have to do everything exactly the right way. I can't have any little flaws. I'll pick apart like the tiniest flaws. Mm-hmm. And I like this quote because it reminds us that we're all human and there's a lot of beauty in being human.
I like that very much. Very, very much.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to pick one of mine that can kind of segue from that. I think I've got it. So kind of along the same lines of being human, when you said that grouping of words, I immediately thought of one of my favorite quotes that I chose, spoken by the character of Eddie Kasperick in Stephen King's It. And everybody knows I've been reading It. I probably am a broken record at this point on this podcast. But besides being one of my favorite horror books, it's also one of my favorite friendship books. And this is a quote that I feel epitomizes what friendship should be. So I'll read it and then go a little bit more into it.
Okay.
Maybe there aren't any such things as good friends or bad friends. Maybe there are just friends. People who stand by you when you're hurt and who help you feel not so lonely. Maybe they're always worth being scared for and hoping for and living for. Maybe worth dying for, too, if that's what has to be. No good friends, no bad friends, only people you want, need to be with. People who build their houses in your heart. And I love that quote because it's spoken by a character who is both visibly to other characters and to himself incredibly flawed. Mm-hmm. He sees himself as not brave. He sees the other characters as more important or stronger or better than he is. But it's his ties to these people and his belief in the power of friendship that make him so heroic, both as a child and as an adult in the novel. And I think his definition of what true friends are, that they're not, you know, there's no good friends or bad friends. They're people have both good and bad qualities. People have strengths and weaknesses. That
yeah.
Maybe what's important is that these are the people that you can rely on and that have your back and that you would die for and that you live for and fight for. And I just think that that's such a powerful, simple sentiment of friendship.
I love that. I think that's amazing how you can kind of look at it in the sense of that there is no perfect person. There is no like all good or all bad.
Mm-hmm.
There's no black and white characters in the real world.
Mm-hmm.
But there are people who are very good or bad in particular situations.
Exactly.
I like it.
Thank you.
So many good quotes.
There's so many good quotes.
All right. So let's see what we'll segue out of that one. I'm not sure if this is really a segue.
Okay.
But kind of goes along with the whole, like, the humanity aspect of what we've been doing so far.
Okay.
Of all the gifts we have received, one is most precious and most terrible. The will in all of us is free. It's in our hands.
Ooh.
That's from Children of Eden.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just, like, one snippet of it. Actually, that entire song is, like, a great quote. That's the finale of Children of Eden, and it's about how, like, we can always choose to start again. Like, we have the power. Like, it's like we've always had the power.
Mm-hmm.
And it comes at a time – if you haven't seen the musical, Children of Eden is basically the story of Genesis in the Bible as a musical. And it's the part of the Bible where, like, God is very active and, like, talks to the people and, like, makes floods and does a lot of stuff. And the very end of it is where he's like, you know what? Now I've watched you grow. This is my creation. I'm going to let you go. I'm going to let you be.
Right.
And the song, in the beginning, which is the end of the show, is about how now we're free. And, you know, whether you're looking at it religiously or not, that as humans, we have the power to make our own decisions.
Mm-hmm.
Whether good or bad, and deal with those consequences, and how that is both such a positive and such a terrifying concept.
Yes.
So I really like that quote, that the one is of all the gifts we've received, one is most precious and most terrible. Like the same thing is most precious and most terrible, and that's our humanity.
Mm-hmm.
And that we get to make these decisions and that they won't always be the right ones.
Right.
But learning to live with those consequences, learning to get through the darkness and getting through the difficult things in life, I think that's a really powerful quote. I have a lot from music, musicals, a lot of different things.
Excellent. So that's actually a perfect quote to tie into one of mine. Not from a musical, but from a person that I have also mentioned in this podcast quite frequently, as she is one of my heroes. This is an Eleanor Roosevelt quote, and I know that many of Eleanor Roosevelt's quotes are already very, very quoted, and for good reason. She was an incredible speaker, which is interesting because she was terrified of public speaking for a long time. She is inspirational because she saw her own humanity and her own weaknesses and her own insecurities and used them to try to better other people's lives. She became more empathetic because of them. And this quote, I think, is so fitting for the part of her personality that was an advocate for those who were voiceless, and how important it is to use the agency and the freedoms that we have in order to better other people's lives as well as our own. So this one is not as quoted as others, but it's one of my favorites. Eleanor Roosevelt said, "The future is literally in our hands to mold as we like, but we cannot wait until tomorrow. Tomorrow is now." So I felt that kind of tied in with what you just quoted, Chelsea, that
it's perfect. Yeah. Yeah.
That, you know, we have this life that we are able to create just simply by our actions and our choices and our words and how we interact with one another. And if we want to make a positive change, we can't wait until tomorrow to do that. We have to do it now, because tomorrow is already right now. And the choices that we make, whether we're making them as children or middle school age people or college students or adults in the professional world, they have an impact on everybody and everything around us. And we need to be completely cognizant of that as we're learning to push through this life and grow and change. And I just think that's such a powerful statement that it's not something we can wait for. We have to make an impact now.
Yeah, like this is always the start of – like today is always the start of the next piece.
Exactly.
It's not waiting around. That actually – that so perfectly fits that last quote.
Yes.
Because an extension of that one, because I didn't do the whole song, because really the whole song is a good quote. Mm-hmm. But another part of that song is our hands can choose to drop the knife. Our hearts can choose to stop the hating, for every moment of our lives is the beginning. Mm-hmm. So about like letting go of the bad and choosing the good, because you have a fresh start now and you have to take that fresh start now. I think those tie together so beautifully.
They really do. I was so excited when you read that one, because I was like, oh.
And I love Eleanor Roosevelt. She's fantastic. I think we have a lot of good people in our quotes here.
Yes, I agree. Okay.
Awesome. Okay. So going from the Eleanor Roosevelt quote. All right. So we're at a theme of choosing. Okay. This is a simple quote. It's one sentence. It is from one of my favorite books and movies.
Okay.
It is frequently quoted, but I think because there's so much to pull apart there and to unpack.
Okay.
And the quote is simply, "We accept the love we think we deserve."
I love that one.
And I think that ties in so nicely, because it's about, you know, choosing the life that you want.
Mm-hmm.
And that's hard. That quote is hard to accept when you're in different parts of your life, actually.
Mm-hmm.
You have, many people I know have at times accepted less than we deserved.
Right.
And, you know, I think it's a rite of passage. Everybody goes through it. Everybody makes those mistakes at some point, but it has to do with how strong you are as a person and how much you value yourself. And I think sometimes the strongest and most confident thing a person can do, especially if we're talking about like love in the traditional like romantic love sense, is to be alone.
Right.
If there's not somebody in your life right now who is what you deserve. And to be alone so that when somebody crosses your path who is good enough and who is what you deserve, that your eyes are open and that you're ready for it.
I love that.
So I just think that's such a powerful quote. And I think that as we go through life, you know, it might be hard to be like, well, no, I didn't want this. Like, and it's not what you necessarily what you want, but it's an internal, how much do you believe in yourself?
Mm-hmm.
And how strong are you in the conviction that you yourself are a whole person? And I love that. I think that one of the most important things about having a successful relationship is that you are both whole people to begin with. You're not the other half. You're not the missing part. You're two whole people who happen to work better together.
Mm-hmm.
So I think seeing your life in that sense, that that quote is just so powerful. And that is from The Perks of Being a Wallflower.
I was just going to say, if you haven't said it yet, that's from Perks. But
I think I just got so excited about the quote. I wanted to like unpack it. And I think that's – it's just an important thing to address too, because I think so much of media and what we see is focused on like, you have to find your person. And I really, really believe that when you find yourself, you're open to a good person.
Mm-hmm.
Or you're open to being a strong you, which is totally fine.
Mm-hmm. And that was actually – this is so strange. This is serendipitous. I have a Jo March quote that fits perfectly with
– Yes.
So –
I love Jo March.
Me too. So Jo March.
We're so like-minded.
Jo March is from Little Women. She is independent. She is brave. She is stubborn.
She's badass.
She really is. And Chelsea just mentioned that sometimes the bravest thing to do is to become a whole person yourself, whether that means finding, you know, finding yourself and then eventually finding a relationship, or just finding yourself and being happy and content with who you are. And I love this quote. So I'm just going to go into it and then we can unpack it. But Jo March says, "I'm happy as I am and love my liberty too well to be in a hurry to give it up for any mortal man." And I love that, because I mean, anybody that has read the book or seen the films, or there's been many mini series, knows that Jo March does eventually fall in love with an incredible man, someone intelligent, someone who challenges her. But she has another person in her life very early on that is one of her best friends, and she doesn't see him in the romantic kind of way. And she sticks to her convictions that she wants to find out who she is and what she's capable of before she jumps into love. And I relate very much to this quote, because I'm at a point in my life right now that I really love who I am. And that took a long time, a very long time. And I love my independence, and I love what I do as far as like my activities outside of work, my running, my off course racing, skiing, hanging out with my friends. And I am very much like Jo March in that I love my liberty and my life too much to be in a hurry to give it up for any mortal man. And of course, Jo is very, very dramatic. And if you read the book, you know that she speaks sometimes as if she is one of her characters in her novels. But so that is, of course, a more dramatic statement than I would be making. But I'm content with myself right now, and I love myself, and it would take my person to make me change, I guess that's what I'm saying.
Well, you know, like Jo, you have to be astonishing first.
I do.
Love that song.
Me too.
Oh, man. Jo March, that makes me so happy. Yeah, she's the best. She's so strong. And honestly, I think one of the things that you said about how she stuck to her convictions when she was young, I think it's also important to note that while she didn't see him as somebody she wanted to marry, she was connected to him.
Oh, they were still
there were
friends.
Feelings. There was a whole like strong friendship connection.
Mm-hmm.
In a sense, like she could have just said, "Well, I like you a lot, so let's just go with this."
Right.
But the fact that she was able to walk away, it wasn't just like someone who was like, "Eh, I don't like you at all, go away."
No,
it was somebody she really cared about. Yeah. So I think that's important to note, that like that makes her even stronger, that she didn't just jump into that and not find herself first. And I think that the more you can find yourself, the better you will not only be if and when you do find another person, but the better you will be in every aspect of your life.
Mm-hmm. So
yay, Joe March.
Yay, Joe.
Ha. Okay, this can connect to another one. I like these connections. It's a fun game. How does your quote connect to my quote?
I love it.
Okay. So this one is another simple one-liner quote that I think we can unpack a lot.
Okay.
Where God closes a door, somewhere he opens a window.
Aww.
And it is, of course, from Sound of Music.
I love that quote.
And one of the things I love so much about this and how I think it ties into that whole discussion about Jo is that, like, she had to close a door. She had to walk away from something, and that allowed her to find herself and to find another person and to find her life, to find something better.
Mm-hmm.
And we go through a lot of things in life where sometimes something really bad happens. Sometimes it's not even just like, eh, well, that wasn't good anyway. Like, sometimes something bad happens.
Mm-hmm.
But in certain circumstances, something bad has to happen in order to put you in a particular place for something good to happen.
Absolutely.
And I think that if you think about it in that sense, that every end, every hardship puts you in a place where you have another chance.
Mm-hmm.
It is a much more optimistic way of looking at the world. And I think it's so true. Like, even within life, I can think of many examples where this is so true for me.
Same for me. Very, very true.
So many examples. There were things that didn't work out as I wanted. There were things that felt devastatingly awful at the time, but that if I didn't go through, I wouldn't have gotten to something better.
Mm-hmm.
So I really love this quote.
That's one of my favorites from when I was very, very young, and it will always be mm-hmm. one of my favorites.
Yeah. I'm thinking of a personal example, but it involves somebody else, so I'm probably not going to say it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think there's so many examples, and if you look within your own life, you can find these. You know, think about the people in your life, think about the situations you've been in, and like, what did it take for you to get there? And it often something tough had to happen for you to get to that good place.
I mean,
so one of my favorite quotes ever,
Chelsea. We never would have met if I had been accepted to my dream school.
This is true.
So I was devastated when I didn't get into Princeton, but because I didn't get into Princeton, I ended up going to Marist, fell in love with Marist, met some of my best friends in the world, and that wouldn't have happened if I had gone to Princeton. So
yeah,
I now have the greatest group of friends ever. Fight me, everybody, fight me. But and that would never have happened if I hadn't, you know, been rejected from a school I really wanted to go to. So you never know.
Mm-hmm.
So I have two that could fit here, and I'm just wondering what way I want to go. So, okay, so I'm going to go with the more serious of the two because I feel like the other one could be connected to another thing. So here we go. Chelsea mentioned her last quote and mentioned that sometimes it's the most terrible things. Sometimes it's, you know, losing a job, losing a loved one, getting a terrible injury and not being able to play a sport that you've played your entire life. You know, it's these big things that really define us. And if we look beyond the thing itself, oftentimes we can see how it shapes us to become the people that end up doing better things because of it. Or at least we can see the silver lining in a terrible, terrible situation. And I think one individual who frequently looks for the positive in a TV show that both Chelsea and I love is Lucy Preston from Timeless.
I love Timeless.
And I don't want to give any spoilers away, but if you haven't watched this and you want to skip this quote, go ahead. I'm going to just say the quote and not say it completely in context, mm-hmm. just so that there are no spoilers, but it does okay. tie in with what Chelsea just said. So Lucy says to Wyatt, another character, "Everybody loses someone that they love, and no matter how badly they want to, they can't get them back. And in spite of that, they find a way to go on. That's everyone's history." And I think that that's so important to remember, that say you're at a point where you haven't been able to see how a loss or something that caused you great pain or great sadness has eventually allowed you to become better or stronger or more fulfilled in another area in your life. Say that you're still stuck in that darkness. Just remembering that that darkness is a part of everybody, and that sadness is something that everybody at one point or another will experience. It's a universal feeling. Everybody feels joy. Everybody also feels sadness, feels depression. And I think it's just so incredibly vital that we all understand that's a part of all of our history. And even if that's a negative thing, that it's a way that we're all connected, and remembering that can allow us to be more empathetic towards our fellow man and know that we're not alone. So that's why I love that quote so much.
Yeah, that's a great quote. Mm-hmm. We have so many good quotes today.
We do.
Okay. Let's take this. I have a few that kind of go down this turn. So, you know, we were talking about how, like, when bad things happen, there is often good that comes out of it.
Right.
So I'm going to take that and go with, "Even the darkest night will end and the sun will rise."
Mm-hmm.
And that's from Les Miserables.
Mm-hmm.
And I know it's kind of a frequently stated one. I feel like I do have a lot of frequently stated ones, but because of their meanings.
Right.
That sometimes things do not seem like there isn't out.
Mm-hmm.
And it does seem like the end. And I guess I'm sort of – I see this in the – almost in like the mental health sense of it.
Right.
That's where I connect to this. So even the darkest night will end and the sun will rise. I definitely had parts of my life that were going through those mm-hmm. things. You continue, and eventually there is something on the other side, but it is difficult to get to that point.
Right. Very much so. And I always – also took that the way that you did, but I also think it's important to know, and I'm sure you'd agree, that this can be applied to, you know, say you're someone that is in a terrible financial situation, or like you're living paycheck by paycheck and you don't see the end or the light at the end of the tunnel, or you're someone who is a single parent and you're just trying your best to make sure that your children or child has everything that you want to give him, her, or them, and you just can't seem to find a way to make everything work, that there is a light amidst the darkness and you will find it.
Yeah.
Even if there's a lot of struggle to begin with.
Powerful statement. And there are a lot of quotes that can go off of it. I have several that are similar, but I think that just knowing that there's something at the end mm-hmm. is just a really comforting thought, especially when we do go through these things. You know, another one that is similar to it is "Storms Make Trees Take Deeper Root" mm-hmm. by Dolly Parton. And that was like an honorable mention one on here. And, you know, mm-hmm. you go through these things, but they make you stronger.
I guess an honorable mention that this isn't written down, but in the movie Now and Then, one of the characters says things are going to happen in your life that you can't stop, but that's no reason to shut out the world. Another one like that. But to kind of take a little bit of a turn. It's time for Lord of the Rings.
All right.
Anyway, so I'm a huge fan of Lord of the Rings and J.R.R. Tolkien. And this quote is probably one that most people have heard or know of. But it's one that I look to when I feel stuck or when I am unsure what my place is in the world and I need a reminder that there is a reason why I'm here right now. There's a reason why I am who I am and that it's my responsibility to do the best with what I have. So the quote is, and it's spoken by Gandalf, "All we have to decide is what to do with the time that is given us."
I love that quote so much. Such a good quote.
It's so good. And it kind of ties in with, you know, not only, you know, looking at the time that we're given as a gift, even when we're in dark places, but also tying in with what we were talking about before, the quotes about choice and how important it is that we realize that we have the freedom and the power to make these choices. And the only, not the only, but the most important decisions we make every day are the decisions to take our lives in certain directions, to take that next step, to, you know, walk down the street and talk to someone, to help someone in need, to give someone a positive word or a congratulatory message. And so just like the simplicity of all we have to decide is what to do with the time that is given to us, our time is so precious. Our time is so valued. And I think that sometimes we take our time and our moments for granted in this world. And just remembering that every moment we have, you know, with our friends, our family, our loved ones, with ourselves on this planet is so precious and it means so much. And that's, I guess it, maybe it's a simple sentiment, but
yeah,
it's absolutely true.
Well, I like a lot of these simple sentiments. I feel like a lot of mine have been simple sentiments, but we can connect to them in such a strong way.
Yes.
All right. I'm going to go with another one that is said a lot, but I like it because of how I connect it to something different than it is in context.
Okay.
So this is a Harry Potter quote.
Yay.
You probably know this quote if you're familiar with Harry Potter, but the reason I like it is a little different. This is a quote at the end of the seventh book.
Mm-hmm.
When, well, I don't want to give spoilers if you don't know Harry Potter, but, you know, it's Harry Potter. It's very well known. There is a scene that kind of happens somewhere between like wakefulness and sleep.
Oh, good descriptor without giving anything away.
right? there's a scene that happens there. And Harry asks Dumbledore, "Is this real or is it all happening inside my head?" And Dumbledore's answer is, "Well, of course this is all happening inside your head, Harry, but why on earth should that mean that it isn't real?"
Mm-hmm.
Such a good quote in context, but I like it because of what I think it sheds light on in terms of people's experiences with different challenges.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen this as a mental health awareness quote, and I love it for that reason. Because the whole concept of that is you are experiencing an illness. There is something physically wrong with you. It's just in your brain.
Mm-hmm.
So people like to look at those as invisible illnesses, and they're not. They're just in your brain.
Mm-hmm.
So even outside of the actual mental illnesses, you know, say you don't have depression, anxiety, bipolar, schizophrenia, whatever thing that is happening inside your head, we sometimes still, everybody at some point has feelings that are difficult to process that perhaps you can't justify to the outside world.
Mm-hmm.
There are always those situations where like, I don't know why this is hurting so much and I can't explain it to you because you're going to say, that doesn't make any sense. Get over it.
Mm-hmm.
I love this quote because it points out that everything that you experience is a real experience.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't matter what caused that experience, whether it is something grounded in the outside world or something coming from within you. And, you know, if it is an irrational thing, there are other ways you can go about dealing with that other than saying it's not real, so stop.
Right.
There are ways that you can think about, okay, why am I experiencing this and how can I help make mm-hmm. it better? So I think that that quote, you know, I love it in the context of Harry Potter. I love Harry Potter in general, but yes. I also love it in the sense of your reality is reality to you.
Mm-hmm.
So if you experience it, it's a real experience. And that's something that, you know, I have, you know, worked with people with mental health conditions, aside from experiencing certain things on my own. And one of the first things they tell you about de-escalating, especially like a child who is going through something difficult, even if none of it makes any sense, even if they're seeing like invisible monsters and they're flipping out, you never say to someone experiencing that, there's nothing there.
Mm-hmm.
You say, tell me what he said.
Yeah.
And often by expressing what they're seeing, they can talk themselves through it.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's a how to de-escalate a kid having a mental health crisis kind of tip. But
mm-hmm.
outside of that specific example, we've all had experiences that we might feel we're not justified in feeling the way that we feel. And just understanding that your feelings are valid as long as you approach them in a healthy way afterwards,
mm-hmm.
that everything you feel is real.
Right.
So I like that quote for that reason.
I like that quote for that reason as well. But to tie in with my next quote, I also like that quote because it introduces the idea that just because something isn't visible or seen by others, that doesn't make it any less poignant, impactful, real, whether it be a mental illness, an emotion, an idea, your imagination. So many of the things that happen in our minds that others can't see are some of the most important things in the world. And I guess one of the ways that I always connected with those things was through the reading of books
mm-hmm.
and connecting with characters who, other than as words on a page, are not real. They're completely created from someone else's imagination and then come alive in my own. I feel as though books were always my outlet to understand the things that maybe were too much for my heart and my head to handle together at first. So going in that direction, I have my next quote. So my next quote is from a book called The Shadow of the Wind, written by Carlos Ruiz Zafón. I read The Shadow of the Wind in graduate school, and to say I read it would be an understatement. I devoured this book. It is an incredible work of historical fiction. It has compelling characters. If you haven't read it yet and you like historical fiction and you're interested in the time period during, before, and after the Spanish Civil War, definitely check it out. The individual who did the translation from original Spanish to English is phenomenal. And this book has a lot of passages and quotes about books and how they're able to impact our lives and shape who we are, even though the characters that we read are only seen in our own minds and not seen in others. So one of my favorite quotes from this book is, books are mirrors.
Hmm.
You only see in them what you already have inside you. So I love this because being a bibliophile,
mm-hmm.
I love the idea that, and I, of course, am totally on board with the idea that this quote is expressing, that the characters you connect with and the themes that hit hard in your life and your heart and the settings that draw you in and you're connected with the characters and the themes hit you hard because they are the literary manifestations of what you see as important in your own life, or who you want to be, or who you don't want to be, or who you want to become. And I just think that it speaks to the power of words and the power of books to help transform people, to help a child find strength and bravery amidst a household of chaos, to help a man struggling with depression see a light by looking at a character who's also struggling with depression and connecting with that character on the page, to help a young woman who is suffering from some type of disappointment in her life, whether that be intellectual or spiritual or physical, and reading about a theme that allows her to see the good in even the darkest of places. I think that this whole idea that books mirror who we are is so true, and I just love it. And I thought you would like that too. I wanted to throw that out there because I don't think you've read the book yet.
No, I haven't read that, but it's great.
I just love that idea. And as a child that dove into books for adventure, but also for solace, I love that quote.
Books are great for that reason. You know, they're one of the greatest outlets. And, you know, there are other outlets that are great as well. There's, you know, there's art, there's music, there's athletics. There are a lot of other things that people can use as outlets, but I think books are one of the greatest. And they do kind of help you mirror yourself, like find out mm-hmm. who you really are.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. All right. So I'm going to go from that one. Along the concept of who you think you are and who you know you are. This next quote is from the movie Seabiscuit.
Ah, I haven't seen that forever. It's a good movie.
It's a very good movie. And if you're not sure of what that's about, you know, it's about Seabiscuit is a horse who is in a horse race. He's in several races, who does amazingly despite the fact that he's a really tiny horse. He's too tiny, really, to be doing this well. And his jockey is too big.
Mm-hmm.
So they shouldn't be doing as well as they are, but they are. And there's a quote in that movie. Sometimes when the little guy doesn't know he's the little guy, he can do great big things.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, referring to the fact that that horse didn't know he shouldn't be able to do it. Mm-hmm. So he could. We can connect that to anything in our lives. You know, it's kind of like it's the thing that you see on like posters in school, like whether you think you can or think you can't, you're right.
You're right. Yeah.
Which is like another, I guess that's another quote I'm throwing in there, but, it connects to this. Sometimes when the little guy doesn't know he's a little guy, he can do great big things, because a lot of what we do and what we can do is connected to our own belief in ourself. And mm-hmm. we can actually be knocked down to a place where we can't do the things we know how to do if our confidence mm-hmm. is shaken enough. And so it's really important to be cognizant of that and be cognizant of how you're feeling about yourself, because it does actually make a difference.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I've had experiences with that. I know you've had experiences with that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've both had confidence issues in the past.
Right.
As have, I'm sure, many of you listening. But once you realize what you can do, mm-hmm. nothing holds you back, even though things should sometimes.
Right.
So, you know, it's like a lot of times – like, you know how in those, like, cheesy movies, sometimes there's, like, a ridiculous guy who doesn't really have much going for him except he's, like, funny or something that, like, gets the most popular girl or whatever? You know, it's like a movie trope.
Yeah.
In those movies, he's confident.
Oh, yeah.
That's what he had. He had his confidence.
Mm-hmm.
Not that that's – saying that no one can ever get anybody who's like a different attractiveness, it's, you know, whatever. But confidence is actually one of the biggest ingredients to being able to succeed. Mm-hmm. It's not just a side thing. So I think that this quote from Seabiscuit, he doesn't know that he's not supposed to be able to do this. And maybe if we didn't know we were not supposed to be able to do things, or that things were going to be hard, or we got out of our own ways, we got out of our heads, we could mm-hmm. do more too.
Yeah. That's interesting to think about.
Because I think one of humankind's greatest flaws is getting in our own ways with our minds. Mm-hmm. I'm definitely guilty of that, so.
Oh, absolutely. I am 100% guilty of that sometimes. Mm-hmm. So to that point, obviously, you know, we've all had moments where maybe drawn out moments, years where we've had issues with confidence. Mm-hmm. I know that I did. But sometimes confidence boosts and, you know, and drains in our confidence can come from things that happen in everyday life. And I know that I just got hit by a professional wrecking ball, but certainly like a hammer hammered me down a little bit, made me feel a little bit shorter, made me feel like a tiny horse. Mm. and for, you know, a couple of days, I didn't feel like I should believe in myself, because if I had worked so hard for something and then it got taken away, then what was all the work for? But then I realized that, you know, all the work was for me. It wasn't for that one thing.
Right.
It's never for that one job. It's never for that one place on the team. It's never for that one essay or that one person or that one relationship. It's always for you. Like, it should always be something that you're doing for you. And that reminded me of the movie Elizabethtown.
Mm.
So, Elizabethtown, for those of you that don't know, it's Orlando Bloom, of course, because Orlando Bloom is one of my all-time favorites from Lord of the Rings, Pirates of the Caribbean. And Kirsten Dunst, also a great one. And the film kind of centers around a young man who suffers a great professional loss, ends up going to a very, very dark place, contemplates and almost attempts suicide, but is then called back to a place of reflection and self-actualization when he learns that his father has passed away and he has to basically become the individual who handles all of the family affairs. And in the midst of all of this, he meets this young woman who is a flight attendant and who has so much life and positivity and optimism. And this is one of the quotes close to the end of the film that she actually writes to him and he reads during a road trip that he takes at the end. And it is in reference to the failure that he, failure that he lives through and then later learns to accept. So this is one of my favorite quotes from the movie. She says, "You have 5 minutes to wallow in the delicious misery. Enjoy it, embrace it, discard it, and proceed." And I just love that quote because she's basically forcing him to say, okay, you like feel what you're feeling. Like, you have time to just like wallow in this self-pity, being like, what was me? This should not have happened to me professionally. I don't understand it. Why did this happen? I worked so hard, but it still didn't pan out. And then she says, like, live in it for a bit, embrace it for what it is, discard it, and then proceed with your life. And obviously sometimes this isn't just a wallow for 5 minutes and proceed type thing in our lives, but it does give me the strength when I'm feeling down to be like, okay, this has happened. This, I cannot change it. I can make sure that I behave the way I want to behave and I can overcome this obstacle. And I just love that quote. It's just so great.
Yeah.
And I think it's a good reminder that sometimes our take 5 minutes to wallow might be more of a metaphorical 5 minutes. Like, it might be a year
mm-hmm.
and it might be 5 years, but just
you knowing allow that yourself it's okay. That moment that it takes.
Yeah. You allow yourself the moment, you let yourself feel, then you process it, you analyze it, You breathe in, breathe out, and then you proceed.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like a Elizabethtown version of this too shall pass.
Mm-hmm. Which I feel like is a theme of a lot of these.
Yeah.
We're kind of having a very this too shall pass sort of night.
Yeah.
But that's okay.
It is.
Because those are important things to remember.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, see, I really like doing these because I think it kind of digs into like how our brains work and how we think.
Mm-hmm.
I like these analyzing quotes kind of ones. You know, going from that point and, you know, thinking about when we go through things and we want to get through things faster and oftentimes it doesn't feel like there's going to be an ending and we aren't patient. That kind of leads me into my next quote.
All right.
And my next quote is, you know what the issue with this world is? Everyone wants a magical solution to their problems, and everyone refuses to believe in magic.
Ooh.
And that is from Alice in Wonderland.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that speaks to kind of like the instant gratification culture.
Mm-hmm.
Not that people necessarily want actual magic, although I'm sure people would take it if it existed. Magical genie in a lamp. Grant me 3 wishes. yeah, so I don't know that people actually want it to be magic, but they want it to be easy. People go through tough things and they expect comfort, expect easy, and that isn't how the world works. But I think the second part of this quote is even more powerful than that.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone refuses to believe in magic.
Hmm.
So if we kind of break this down, people want things to be simple and easy. But in the refusing to believe in magic part, that's kind of like they refuse to see the opportunities, like see the positive, see, be optimistic, see miracles.
Yeah.
There are things that happen all the time that are amazing that we don't see as amazing. We're like, yeah, it's just another day. But like the things that had to come together for like that thing to work, there's a lot of just not necessarily magic, but things that have that miraculous magical quality in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And oftentimes when we're focused so much on our problems and that we have to get through them and then we want to focus on like what's going to fix it, what's the quick fix,
right?
We miss all the beauty.
Mm-hmm.
So I really like this because it, you know, it shows you that there is magic around you, for lack of a better word.
Mm-hmm.
There are things in this world that are amazing. And maybe if we paid more attention to those things, the good, we would see more opportunity. We would see more possibility. And maybe those things would be solutions to our problems.
I like that a lot.
So it's a reminder to be positive.
So speaking of being positive, and speaking of a character who always looked for the magic, the beauty in things, despite having some beginnings that were less than ideal, I need to quote Anne Shirley from Anne of Green Gables.
Mm.
She was an individual who, unlike many of us who choose not to see the magic in the world, Anne of Green Gables always saw the magic in the world. She renamed simple ponds in her area where she lived as lakes of shining waters. She saw the beauty in freshly bloomed flowers. She saw her friendships as being powerful and magical and full of life and love. And I think that all of us can take, you know, a page out of her book and maybe start living with that magic that Chelsea was referencing in the Alice in Wonderland quote. But even Anne has her moments where she forgets who she is. She kind of stumbles in her own stubbornness and she sometimes goes too far into her imaginings and forgets to see the good that's right in front of her. And this quote is from a part in the books when she is talking to an individual who she has deeply cared for a long time, but is now learning that she truly loves. Gilbert Blythe, by the way, readership. We ship it.
Ann Bird, is that their ship name?
What?
Ann Bird, is that their ship name?
Yeah.
Sure. Sorry, I'm interrupting and making a ship name. Go ahead.
I don't know if there was ever a ship name, but I can dig that one.
I like ship names.
But she says to Gil, "I went looking for my dreams outside of myself and discovered it's not what the world holds for you. It's what you bring to it." And that's a classic example of kind of like you said, that we live in a world where we expect everything to come to us. Everything should just fall into place. Magic should happen, and it should make it so that we get the right job right away. We only have to send out one resume and do one interview. And if we have a college degree, then we must get a perfect job.
Of course.
And what Anne is saying is that she went looking for that outside of who she truly was. She wanted all the things that she imagined that she wanted without actually introspectively looking at what her heart and her mind truly desired. And when she did that, then she realized that it's not about what you deserve in this world. It's not about what the world owes you. It's about what you can give to it and what you can bring to it. And it's only when you recognize that it's about what you can do for others and the world and your community that you feel fully like true to yourself and fulfilled and content. And I just love that, that it's all about giving unto others as well as taking care of ourselves. And it's when we think about that, that we truly find peace of mind and peace of heart.
Love it. Mm-hmm. Anna Green Gables is great for those kind of lessons.
Mm-hmm. Because she has a lot of foibles.
She does.
For sure.
Mm-hmm. But she's a very cool character.
She is. Very relatable, too.
Yes. For sure. All right. This is another one that people know. I feel like I've had a lot that people know. But I like them because we can pull them apart easily.
Mm-hmm.
So this is from the very, very first episode of Game of Thrones.
Oh.
And I'm sure you know which quote it is.
I do, and I'm so excited.
Okay. So this quote is, "Never forget what you are. The rest of the world will not. Wear it like armor, and it can never be used to hurt you." And this quote is Tyrion Lannister, who, if you are not familiar with Game of Thrones, he's played by Peter Dinklage. He's awesome. And he is, you know, he's the imp. He's, you know, because he's a dwarf. He doesn't fit in with the rest of his royal family. He's from like a important royal family, but doesn't fit in because he's different, because he has this physical difference. And that is what he's connecting it to. And he's speaking to someone who is an illegitimate child of their family. And in this day and age, that's a big deal. So that's in context. But I think this can go to anything that you're maybe not the most proud of in your life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe you had some kind of struggle with something in the past that is not necessarily something that is a gold star shining mark on your resume there, you know. Maybe mm-hmm. you had an eating disorder or something. You know, maybe you used to be involved in bad things. In this kind of way of looking at it, you know what? Just own it. Own it and move forward from it. And even if mm-hmm. it's not something bad to that extent, even if it's like, I'm not always the best at organizing things, rather than pretending that you are, own it. If you say it first, people can't use it against you.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that one is really powerful in terms of understanding yourself and accepting yourself, flaws and all.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't necessarily mean like, you know, don't work on your things. It doesn't necessarily mean like, well, I just have this problem and that's who I am. Of course, it means like if it's something that can be worked on, you do work on it. But not pretending things don't exist where they do.
Mm-hmm.
And taking ownership and moving forward.
Right.
Such a good quote. I love Tyrion.
I love Tyrion. That was actually, I want to say that that quote with Tyrion's face on it was my cover photo for a while.
It's a great quote.
It is. And it's also great. I also feel like it's also a great one if you're facing bullying of any kind too.
Yeah.
Because maybe that's how people see you. But, you know, if you know that's how they see you, then just show them how that it doesn't bother you. Like, if you already understand that that's how people see you and you know that they're being foolish, that they're being small people. And when I mean small as in small-minded, small-hearted. Yeah. Then, you know what, wear that like armor, you know, and use that armor to just deflect the words and actions of those people. Mm-hmm. Tyrion's awesome. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if you call yourself something first, then when they call you that, then it loses all the impact.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, especially, yeah, like you were saying with bullying situations, especially if we have any, like, kids or teens listening. Kids are brutal. They bully for stupid reasons that aren't even reasons. They pick stupid things like, oh, you have glasses or something. Like, everybody has glasses.
Mm-hmm.
Like, stupid things like that. Or, you know, oh, well, I don't like your haircut. Like, it's stupid stuff that doesn't mean anything. So whatever they are targeting,
mm-hmm.
make it an asset. Even if they're like, you're such a nerd. Be like, yeah, I am a nerd. And you know what?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm smarter than you.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm a proud nerd. You guys know this by now. But
that's fine.
But, you know, as adults, it's not something that people target and bully.
Right.
But if you are a kid or honestly even an adult who's being targeted for something, you know, maybe it's an intolerance of some part of you that unfortunately there are small-minded people. Own it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Accept who you are. Be proud of who you are.
Right. And I guess going into the next quote, for all those people, maybe you're listening and perhaps you have been a bully, then this one is for you.
Mm.
So I think before you decide to judge or talk about or, you know, gossip about or in the worst case hurt or bully someone else, I want you to think of this quote in To Kill a Mockingbird by Harper Lee. Take it to heart, reflect, and then rechange your actions. You never really understand a person until you consider things from his point of view, until you climb inside his skin and walk around in it. So this one is one that, of course, people have heard. It's been quoted quite frequently. But especially in this day and age when everybody's finding ways to attack one another, and rather than finding ways that we're similar and that we can get along and that we can find common ground, we're choosing to spit hate at one another from all different directions, especially politically.
Mm-hmm.
But really taking the time to, before you do any of that, before you judge someone, before you talk about them, before you attack them, think of what it's like to live as that person. And if you do that and really try to imagine what it's like to be the person you're about to attack, then maybe you wouldn't attack them, because that person in many ways is just like you. They feel, they think, they cry, they laugh, they have friends and family, they have things they care about, things they're afraid of. And you are in no place to understand that person or inflict any ill will or harm on them. Not that you should anyways, until you take the time to consider things from that person's point of view. Even if it's a warped point of view, even if it's a point of view that you completely disagree with, taking the time to understand someone and look at how they might be seeing something,
yeah,
and how they might be viewing the world makes your reaction so much more professional, articulate, kind, compassionate, and that we could all use a little bit more of those.
Absolutely. It's so important to consider how other people are thinking. You know, mm-hmm. take a look from their perspective. Mm-hmm. So last quote.
Mm-hmm.
I have a lot of choices. I think I'm going to do this one now.
Okay.
So this is another lyric. It is from the show Hamilton.
Mm-hmm.
By the wonderful Lin-Manuel Miranda.
Mm-hmm.
And I like this to kind of tie together everything we've been saying, because a lot of it was about knowing who you are, taking ownership mm-hmm. of the good, the bad, pushing through tough times.
Mm-hmm.
We've had a lot of that theme tonight. So this quote is, I am the one thing in life I can control. I am inimitable. Mm-hmm. I am an original. I'm not falling behind or running late. I'm not standing still. I'm lying in wait.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm jumping to a different part of the song. But if there's a reason I'm still alive when so many have died, then I'm willing to wait for it.
Mm-hmm.
So thinking about it that way, that you're here, no matter what has happened to you, no matter what you've been through, you're here. Mm-hmm. You're listening to this. You are alive. You are literate because you're listening to us talk about books and movies and things. And I don't think that if you were illiterate, you would be finding this podcast. You have an internet connection. You have a device. You have things.
Mm-hmm.
Even if everything else is crumbling, if you can hear this, you have some things.
Mm-hmm.
So if there's a reason that you have the – like it, that goes with the if there's a reason I'm still alive when so many have died, people don't. So there's a reason that you have the things that you have, that you were given the blessings that you have in life.
Mm-hmm.
Your talents, your intelligence, your place you were born in the world, your education. You were given things in your life. And there's a reason. If you haven't found it yet, it's coming. There's something that you should be doing with all of that. And that goes with the first part of this quote, that you can only control you.
Mm-hmm.
So know what you have. Understand that you're the only one of you, that you have resources available to you, and believe in yourself. You are an original, like the song says.
Yeah.
So I really like this song, this quote.
I do too.
Because it really recognizes that we have to not take for granted what we are, what we have, and know that it's up to us. We control ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's a good tie together quote. And yes, you can weigh in if you would like.
No, it is. And I was honestly a little bit concerned about how I was going to segue into my last one, because it is it's not exactly a conclusion quote, but I'm somehow going to make it one.
You can do it.
Because I'm a wordsmith and I can do
this. Because you are the one thing in life you can control.
Exactly.
And you are an original.
And I'm going to control this.
Yes.
but so tying in, I'm going to preface with, when I say the word inferiors in this quote, I want all of us to contemplate what that word means in the sense of physical inferiors, intellectual inferiors, maybe emotional inferiors, inferiors in the workplace, professional inferiors when it comes to power and freedom, people who don't have the same liberties and freedoms and opportunities as we do, like Chelsea just mentioned, and really hone in on those meanings, the multiple meanings of the word, when I'd say this quote, and that will make it more powerful. And that's always what I think of.
Okay.
So I guess it's fitting that both Chelsea and I have a quote from Harry Potter.
Mm-hmm.
My quote is from one of my favorite characters and one of the characters I relate to the most in the series, just personality wise, Sirius Black.
Mm-hmm.
I think he has some of the greatest quotes in the books. And I love how incredibly inspirational he is while being so flawed. And He's an individual who is loyal but makes a lot of mistakes, who is intelligent but sometimes allows his hot-headedness to get in the way. And it's just, he's so complex. But one of his best quotes, I think, is when he says, "If you want to know what a man's like, take a good look at how he treats his inferiors, not his equals."
Yeah.
And I think that, again, if you think about inferiors in the way that I described in the beginning, a good way to judge how we are as human beings and how others are as human beings are how we treat others who may not have as much power, privilege, freedom as we do, who may lack the same education that we have, who may not be as physically strong or emotionally strong, and then really work hard to become the best version of ourselves that remembers this and commits this to not only our memories, but our hearts, and who realizes that it's only in making sure that we're taking care of these people, I guess the inferiors, for lack of a better word, and that we're making sure that they're cared for and that we are speaking for them, that we are being the best versions of ourselves. And I think Sirius Black hits the nail on the head when he says that
he does.
True character comes from individuals who see their strength and use it for good, not who see their strength and gloat over it.
Exactly. Mm. Awesome. We have so many good quotes.
We do. Like, the really scary thing, though, listeners, is that we could probably do this for another 4 hours and just be like, oh, yeah, that's a good one. Oh, yeah, that's a good one.
Well, but I like having this outlet to do these.
Mm-hmm. I also like how we were able to somehow tie all the quotes together.
Yeah. Fun game. We should do more, like, intellectual challenge games like that while we're recording.
We should. And if any of our listeners have an intellectual challenge game that you'd like us to, you know, you'd like to challenge us with, please let us know, because we like challenges.
And it could be about anything. It could be, you know, I know we tie together a lot of like music and literature kind of stuff often, but it could be about anything. You can try to trip us up.
Oh my God, please do. It's so much fun.
Yeah. We like to talk about anything and everything.
This is very true.
We're a little chatty.
We are. And thank you for enjoying these chats every single week and coming back to listen to us.
Yes.
We are so excited that we have this community of people that is also, you know, a group of fun, loving lovers of knowledge. Mm-hmm.
Now you're quoting me.
I am.
The little random thing I say.
I stand by it.
Yes. So it's, I like our little intro quote.
Yeah.
Because I wrote it.
I like that thing that I wrote.
I don't always like everything I wrote.
It's kind of like me and my young adult novel. It's like, I like that book that I wrote.
I also like your book.
Oh, thank you.
If you haven't read it, you should. Someone Else's Shoes by Kayla Ann Provost. Go get it now.
Amazon.com or Barnes & Noble.
Yes.
So.
Okay.
Anyway, thank you all so much for listening, for being a part of this conversation, for being a part of this awesome podcast community. And as always, we love your questions, your comments, your ideas, your challenges.
Of course. Reach out to us about this or any other episode.
Mm-hmm.
If you're listening to something from a while ago and you have something that you want to say, you can still talk to us.
This is true.
And we're really excited to come up with some more fun content for you guys soon. So stay tuned.
Yay. Thank you so much, everybody.
Have a great week.
Bye.
Bye. For joining us for our quotable episode of Sapiophiles. As always, you can reach us at sapiophilespodcast@gmail.com, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, iTunes Store, Apple Podcast, or any app that you use to listen to this podcast. Have a fantastic week, and as always, stay curious.